reason we say that is there's Genesis lays the foundation for everything. Really, everything you can think of with regard to who we are, why we're here. Why people die. Where did sin come from? The holiness of God. The importance of marriage. The design of gender we looked at last week. We're going to review that briefly. The blessing of children, amongst other things that God gives us. Why people speak other languages. That's all in the book of Genesis. So misunderstanding the book of Genesis is to walk around rather blindly in this day. I'm going to read the three verses that are here at the top of your notes. Genesis 1, 26 to verse 28. We're going to be in this passage for several weeks. Because there's so much in here. This is one of the most foundational passages in all the Bible with regard to humanity, and there's so much in here. But we're going to talk, we were in it last week just briefly about male and female. We'll review that in a little bit. But we're going to talk about the image of God for the next several weeks. After that, we're going to focus on the blessings, these five blessings that God gives for at least a week, if not 2 weeks. Maybe even more, because it goes on through verse 31. The rest of the day goes on to day 6. So let me read this out loud to you while you just follow along silently in your notes here. Genesis 1, verses 26, 27, and 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Let's just ask God to help us briefly here. Father, we pray that You would help us to study Your Word with attentiveness. Help us to be able to understand what is here. And we're just touching the surface of the image of God today. How You've created us differently than all of the rest of creation. And Lord, I pray that You would give me grace to be able to speak clearly and understandably. We just thank You for Your Word. Thank You that we can know all of these things that You've written down for us to understand. And Lord, they give us purpose, they give us direction, they give us principles to live by. And we just praise You for that. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, let's just review last Sunday just the primary points. We looked at male and female, He created them. We jumped out of order because it was supposed to be my Mother's Day sermon and I was sick that day. But here it is. Male and female, He created them. 7 points, I'll just read them. I'll probably comment briefly. But the primary purpose of gender, when we talk about gender, we're talking about male and female, boys versus girls. The primary purpose of gender is procreation. And what we mean by procreation is the bearing and raising of children. The reason we say that is because every other capacity that you can get from marriage, if you will, can be had without being married. Okay? The idea of pleasure or companionship, you can get those in different avenues, and they also lead down different logical paths. If marriage, if you will, is just for pleasure, then wherever I find pleasure is how I will define marriage. If marriage is defined by whatever brings me companionship, then that will define marriage. But if marriage is primarily designed for the bearing and raising of children, which gender seems to indicate. That's the only real purpose of gender in reality. Then it changes the way we look at marriage. And I would say that the Bible backs that idea up. Marriage is primarily to bear children and to raise them as a unit, as a man and a woman together. I was pondering this week about the whole, most people think marriage is for their pleasure. And again, there's pleasure in marriage. I think it's the best choice beyond getting saved that I've ever made. It's made me a way better man, and I love my wife dearly, and she's been my completer in every way possible. But we oftentimes look at marriage as something that has to bring us enjoyment, and that is true, but marriage is also probably one of the hardest things you embark on, because there's two sinful people, and then those two sinful people usually produce sinful children. By the way, if they produce children, they are sinful. The idea is not all marriages produce children. But it's kind of like we look at the same thing with eating. We eat, and how many here enjoy eating? Raise your hand. Okay, I delight in eating. But we do not eat because we enjoy eating. We eat primarily to keep us alive, to bring nutrition to our bodies. Now, there's enjoyment in eating, but that is not the reason we eat. God allows us to enjoy taste and aroma and all of that. I had a nice, tasty cup of coffee this morning earlier, and you know, I enjoyed that. But primarily eating is for fuel for our bodies, to maintain and support our bodies, not for pleasure. Pleasure is the side benefit. And I've known people, I knew one gentleman that somehow he had a brain injury and everything was okay except he couldn't taste anything. So he enjoyed eating. He still had to eat and he still ate even though he didn't have the pleasure that I do in eating. But the one way he enjoyed eating was texture. He enjoyed the different textures. He could not taste anything. Whatever that mechanism was incapacitated in his brain. So all he could do was he could associate different textures, but he couldn't taste anything. But you know what? He still ate. Why? Because the purpose of eating is to stay alive and stay well, not to gain pleasure from it. God gives us pleasure. It's like color television. It kind of brings enhancement to our life, but it's extra bonus. It's not the primary reason. We are not to live for pleasure or what the Bible calls lust. Okay, we are not to be driven by our pleasures. Pleasures are enhancements, not deciding factors. We don't do what we do necessarily because we enjoy things all the time. Otherwise, I don't know about you, but I'd probably never get out of bed. I most surely wouldn't go to work, though I enjoy working, but I probably wouldn't work. You know, I would do what I want. That's why they have to pay me to do what they want at work. Okay? So, but the idea of pleasure is not the determining factor. Number two, marriage or gender is designed for two people and only two people. Okay? It's one man and one woman. That's number three. Marriage or gender can only be for two people of the opposite gender. By design, procreation requires a man and a woman, and only one man and only one woman. That's by God's design. Number four, marriage or gender requires two which are similar. A man and a woman are human, but they're not the same. Similar, but not the same. Okay? Marriage assumes the design and blessing of sex by God. The idea of physical intimacy is a design and a beautiful design of God within the scope of marriage. God designed that. It's not a bad thing, but it's in His design, it's limited to marriage. Okay? Number six, marriage would assume a relationship between adults or gender because procreation requires adulthood. And we have so much departure for that and perversion in our day that it's in the news almost every day because people pursue physical intimacy they molest children or whatever, and they miss God's design. It's not for their pleasure. It's within the scope of marriage to produce children. Pleasure is there, but it's within that scope that God allows it. And number seven, marriage would be limited to human relationships. And we have all kinds of sin that goes off that tangent that God specifically condemns in Scripture in the Old Testament. So male and female, He created them. And boy, how pertinent that is in our day, isn't it? In our state even, how much people are confused. They don't even know why marriage is created or what the purpose is. And they miss that blessing, and they also experience great pain and misery in the midst of their pursuit of pleasure. And it drags the world down. It really does. We'll talk about that more another time, but that's definitely part of it there. Now let's talk about, let us make man in our image. That's the very beginning of Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Now we're going to talk about the meaning more on that next week. We're just going to talk more in general today, and that'll make sense, I think. But my key point is today, my takeaway point is that mankind is special. Humans are special. You are special. Now, this is not a positive affirmation thing, you know, that I am good, I'm wonderful, or whatever. But, folks, the Bible clearly indicates that you are way more special than anything else that God has created, big or small. You are special. Let's look at number one here in your notes. Mankind, first thing we want to say is, and want to acknowledge, is that mankind is similar to the animals. Mankind is similar to the animals. We're not arguing that there aren't similarities. One thing that I was thinking about when I was preparing for this is like, every mammal that I know of, now this isn't probably true, but that I can think of, has two eyes. Are there some that vary off of that? So by and large it's true, right? Two eyes. They have two eyes. There's a similarity there. Okay? But we want to jump out and say, though, similarity does not prove sameness. I have glass headlights, but that doesn't make me a Chevy. Okay, I have glass out in front. That's kind of the same as my car, which is actually a Ford. Okay, but it doesn't make me the same as my car. It's just related differences. We are similar, letter A, in design as animals. Some animals have two arms and two legs. We get compared a lot to monkeys and say, well, they look similar. They must be the same. They must just be earlier humans, you know, their pre-human existence, that somehow the monkeys turn into people. And it's like, you know, some of my kids have monkey-like tendencies. But they're not monkeys. They're completely different than monkeys. Okay? They might have some similarities. My kids might try to swing from trees, and some of them do, but not the same way a monkey does. And the other way around, a monkey may walk on 2 feet, but not the way my kids do or I do. Okay? There's similarities. We're similar in design. But all that says is that there's a common designer. And that's that other blank in your notes. A common designer. You go to any two houses that are made by the same manufacturer, and they'll say, hey, there's a door here and a door here, and there's windows and windows. And all you could say is, they're not the same house. They're just designed by the same designer. Okay, that's all that it proves, that Probably the same person designed the two. They're similar, but not the same. We are similar in design with many of the animals, but we're not identical to them. All it shows is that we have a common designer, that the same person designed us, which the Bible indicates. Okay? Pastor Sean preached several weeks ago now about the animals. God created them according to their kind, and the kinds are different. They don't cross over. You can have different kinds of rabbits, but rabbits produce rabbits, and dogs produce dogs, and elephants produce elephants. They're all different kinds, but they have a common creator, as the Bible would indicate. Mankind is similar to the animals. We are similar in design, which indicates a common designer. We're not identical. That doesn't mean we evolved from something else. That just simply means that we have the same designer. Letter B, we are similar in physical makeup. Physical makeup. We have the same chemical elements. If you examine a monkey's molecules and our molecules and all that, there's similarities. We have the same elements. You could distill us, I suppose. That sounds kind of gross. But you could take a monkey all apart and take a human all apart, if you could do that in a puzzle way and say, well, here's carbon and here's, what else, Sean? Protein molecules and all that. You could break it all apart and it's there. We have similar compounds. And guess what that proves? That we have similar compounds. That's what that proves. Okay? And again, a common designer, a common creator. God uses some of the same materials. He said, let the earth bring forth all of these animals, creeping things and all of that, from the earth. Animals and humans come from the earth. So we would likely have similar physical makeup. Okay, the elements that we're made from are the same. That isn't a hard thing to understand. That doesn't make us the same. That doesn't prove that we came from the same place monkeys come from. Okay? It would be even true as you get down to plants and so on. We have the same compounds that make us up. Letter C, we are created, Why don't you cross off R? We were created on the same day. That's another thing we have in common. Day 6 of creation, God first creates land creatures. Cattle, the domesticated kind of animals like sheep and camels, I think, are in that crew, if I recall. And things like that can be domesticated. And also the other animals that aren't really what you can consider farm animals. And creeping things like bugs. My little boy Samuel was looking at an ant, I think it was yesterday, and he was just fascinated by it. God created ants on that day, I think. Not as in uncles and ants, but as in ants as in bugs, okay? Spiders and all of that. And each had a purpose, not that we understand all the purposes, but there's lots of purposes for ants that I won't go into today. Just fascinating. We were created on the same day, day 6, but animals were created. Cattle, creeping things, anything that creeps on the earth was created on day 6. And then God created man. He created Adam and then he created Eve, though Eve wasn't named till later. But the man and the woman. So, number one, again, mankind is similar to the animals. We acknowledge that. We're similar in design because we have a common designer. We're similar in physical makeup because God created us out of the same chemical compounds, if you will. And we were created on the same day. Okay, that's what we have in common. And you could probably list even more. We breathe air, things like that. Very similar. So number two, the second thing we can say is that mankind is different than the animals. Mankind is different than the animals. Letter A, man is a completely separate step. We were not created at the same time as the animals. The Bible indicates, again, that the animals were created first, and then man was created later on that day. God doesn't create animals and man together. How many here were taught that humans are just another animal? I was. I was taught that in school. Humans are just another animal. That's not the case. Animals are animals, and humans are, help me out here, human. Okay? We're different than the animals. We're not the same as the animals. We're not created at the same time. We're not grouped together with the animals. Now, are we similar to animals? Say yes. Yes. Why? Because we have the same designer. We have the same creator. But we are not the same as the animals. Now, we might have animals in our homes as pets. Now, how many here have pets? Raise your hand. Okay, I know Kinder does. How many dogs do you have? One. Okay. I used to have like a herd. Is it a herd of dogs? How do I call it? Yeah, so three. Yeah. How many ever had a cat? So my wife, the word dislike is not strong enough, but that's the one I'll use today. But she does not like cats. Now, the only thing my dad let me have growing up was guppies, you know, fish, and cats. Because dad was a farm boy, and he said dogs deserve the country. And I kind of understand that. We've tried a few dogs in our day, and we just aren't good dog people. It's not the dog's fault, it's our fault kind of thing. But a cat, that's the only animal I know on the face of the earth that thinks you're its pet. Okay? But otherwise, by and large, we have pets. We own them, we care for them, we feed them, we provide for them. It's not the other way around, unless, again, you have a cat and they think that you're there for them. But that's not the case even for a cat. We're different. Man is a completely separate step. God created all of the animals, and then He creates man. Letter B, we were not just announced, but God was personally involved in creating each individual. Should say God. I've revised this so many times, I should have proofread a little better. But God, you can take up the apostrophe S, was personally involved in creating each individual. Genesis goes into more detail. We've read Genesis 1, 26 through 28. He makes a male and female. Genesis 2 goes into more detail. It kind of backs up and says, okay, now we're going to focus in more detail, bring out the magnifying glass, and this is how it happened. God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, the Bible says. There was a personal involvement with God. And then, a little bit later that day, when it was not good that Adam was alone, God took a rib from Adam and created or formed Eve from that rib and then brought her to Adam. God was directly involved. He didn't do that with the animals. What did He do with the animals? Yeah, He just spoke and He said, let the earth bring forth animals. Now, I suppose you can animate that. Hey, B, this is an idea. I don't know how you're going to do it with Legos, but you know, have the stuff growing out of the ground. Just the animals coming out of the ground. There's no direct involvement, personal involvement with the animals. It just all happened by fiat of you. God speaks and all of a sudden there's animals running all around. Swarming. I mean, it wasn't just like, oh, look way over there, there's an animal. It's like animals all over. Okay? God, differently, was directly involved in Adam's creation. He formed him. It's like he designed him, that unique individual, as opposed to all the animals just kind of let the land bring them forth. God specifically formed Adam out of the ground, and then later that day formed Eve from Adam's rib. He was directly and intimately involved with both the man and the woman in their creation. That speaks multitudes of how we are different than animals. Letter C is kind of related a little bit, but our creation is personal with God's "let us." He says, "Let us make man in our image." It's personal. Our creation is personal with God's "let us." And I quoted just a brief paragraph here from the Complete Biblical Library. It says, "It's finally in the climactic act of creation, the pinnacle event of creation. God slowly develops creation over the 6 days, and the final finishing touch, the greatest and highest, the most complex creation, is Adam and then Eve. In the climactic act of creation, God created humankind. He did not say, 'Let the land produce humankind,' like he did with the animals. He gave special attention to the creation of the human race. The command was given to himself when he said, 'Let us make man in our image or pattern after our likeness,' with similarity and potential. Nowhere else in creation, whether it's the lights or the planets or the animals or whatever, did God speak in this way. He spoke to the components or whatever, and it happened. But here, he had a discussion, if you will, not a discussion, but an interaction with himself. We believe that's probably an indication of the Trinity, okay? Because the Trinity is the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God, but three persons. That's the way the Bible reveals God. It's not something we fully comprehend. But he said, "Let us make man in our image." He didn't say that with anything else. With anything else he created. He directly made man special. He made man special. Our creation is personal with God's "let us." God somehow is more directly and personally involved by saying that. Rather than just creating stuff, he says, "Now let us make man in our image." Okay? Letter D, we're different than the animals because earth was created for mankind. I'm just going to open up to Genesis 1 here, but let me read a little more that's involved here. God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." And he goes on to say, let man have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So man is going to have dominion over everything else that's created. God created the earth for mankind. He creates it all and says, "Now here, I created you. Now you be in charge of all of this." That's different than any of the animals. We might call the lion the lord of the jungle, but no, man is the lord of the jungle. Man is the lord of the desert. Man is the lord of the sea because of what God has given him for that. Verse 28 goes on to say, "Then God blessed them, the man and the woman, the male and the female, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it.'" In other words, you take control of the earth. God didn't tell that to any plant or animal. We are not equal to the animals. We are superior to the animals. We've been placed in charge of the earth and everything in it, God said. And then verse 29, God said, "See, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food." All these plants, they're for you to eat. "And to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, which there is life, I've given every green herb for food, and it was so. God made us different. He made the earth for mankind. That's what sets us apart. Another reason that sets us apart. And we're going to talk about the whole subdue and dominion thing later on in more detail. Letter E is related to that. Mankind rules over all of the earth. That is not true of animals, even cats. It's not true. God gave mankind rulership over the earth and everything in it. Mankind is different than the animals. You are special. You are more special than a cat or a dog or a monkey or an elephant or even a whale. You are superior. You are a greater, higher form of creation. Because God made you that way on purpose. God made you special. You're more special than any other creation because you're made in His image and likeness. And that's number three. Man is created in the image and likeness of God. The image and likeness of God. Now, we're not going to explain what that means this week. Okay? Because that's a whole nother sermon. But we're going to mention just a few things about the image of God this week. Okay? The image and likeness of God. Letter A here. The image of God is passed on. The image of God is passed on. They're created in the image of God. Let's jump to Genesis 5. And we'll be here next week as well, and maybe the week after. But Genesis 5, just the first three verses. I'll give you just a moment to turn. And if you don't have your Bible handy or you're juggling kids or something, I'll read it out loud. Genesis 5, verse 1. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, He made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. Now, verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Okay? The idea here is Adam was created in the image of God, image and likeness of God, and that image and likeness of Adam passed on to Seth and so on. It's something that's passed on. All right? You are in the image of God because you are descended from Adam. You are special. You are different than the animals. Genesis 9, if you turn there, and we'll be at Genesis 9 again because it discusses the image of God. But turn there. One thing that the Bible tells us is what's the whole idea of capital punishment? What is capital punishment? The ultimate payment, the capital payment, is to be put to death. Okay? Some people argue for it, some people argue against it. But God assigned that, the idea of putting someone to death for specific reasons. This is the first instance, and again, it's the book of Genesis. Verse 5. Genesis 9, verse 5. Surely, for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of a man. Whoever, verse 6 now, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. Let's stop there a minute. What is it saying? And we're going to talk about this another time, but just to, so we don't, this doesn't pass over. But it says, whoever sheds a person's blood, whoever kills another person, men are required to take his life. That's what God is assigning. Okay? You take a person's life, you murder a person, God requires mankind to take your life. By the way, this is even the initiation of government because it's other people holding other people accountable now. Okay, this is where government begins even. And by the way, even in the New Testament, it talks about the governor does not bear the sword in vain. The sword is an instrument of death, an instrument of punishment. And God assigned that, not man. I believe that capital punishment is still for today. In other words, there are still crimes in which people should be put to death. Because notice the reason here, verse 6, this has not changed. For in the image of God, He made man. When you kill a person, it's not the same as killing a cat or a dog, and we're not proposing that, you understand. But it's not the same level of an issue as it is killing a person. People are created in the image of God. Dogs and cats and animals and earthworms that we drown to try and get fish with are not created in the image of God. Okay? And it's interesting today, there's cruelty to animals, and we do not encourage that. We do not condone that. But people get in more trouble to do that than they get in trouble for anymore when they kill people. I mean, just the other day, it was a documentary, and this gentleman killed his wife, and he would get 6 years to life. And you're like, 6 years to life? The kids in Fort Dodge that burn cats got more time than that. You know what I mean? There's a disconnection because they do not understand that people are infinitely more valuable than animals. Again, animals are not to be mistreated. But when people are put to death, God requires their blood. Why? Because they're created in the image of God. Whoever sheds a man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. Why? Because they are created in the image of God. Now God expounds on this a little more. He requires capital punishment in the law as he develops it when somebody kills someone on purpose. Even accidentally, listen, even if you accidentally killed someone, the only way you could keep from someone avenging that person that God allows you to do is to run to a city of refuge in the Old Testament. And you had to stay there until the high priest died, which I know I'm telling you more than you need to know right now on this, but they still were allowed, even if it was an accident, to take your life. Why? Because that person was created in the image of God, and you're responsible even if it's an accident. Okay? It didn't require someone, if it was an accident, to avenge, but it allowed them to do that. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. You are different than animals. You are special. God made you special. And God holds that highly, even in law. We'll talk about that more. Probably even next week, but maybe the week after. It might be 2 weeks. Letter B, I haven't told you this, but sin marred the image of God. When Adam sinned, the image of God was infected, if you will. Sin marred the image of God, but it did not remove it. Genesis 9 is after the fact. And God is still saying that man is created in the image of God. It wasn't something that evaporated when Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden. It didn't. Adam was infected with sin, but he did not lose that image of God. Whatever it is, which we're going to talk about next week in detail, Whatever that is, it wasn't lost. It might have been infected. It might have been tarnished, but it wasn't removed. Okay? Sin marred the image of God, but did not remove it. Understand that people, any human is created in the image of God. That's why the whole abortion thing's a huge thing. And also, the euthanasia thing. Euthanasia comes from Greek words, again, okay? If you know Greek at all, you get that. But thanatos is death. The EU in front of it, euthanatos, euthanasia, is good. It's like good death. We're going to let you die. It's a good death. We're going to give you something to put you out, knock you out, and kill you off. That's why that's such a big issue. Why? Because God is the giver and taker of life. And people that do this even, like the Terri Schiavo thing, remember a couple years ago? She was allowed to die even though there was evidence of cognizance and all of that. She was not in a vegetative state. She was aware. She could communicate. You couldn't understand her, but they were still... She's created in the image of God. It doesn't matter if you're hit by a car, and even in a vegetative state, you're still a human being, and that makes you special. That's why that we don't believe in selective reduction of children, you know, or like over in China, they allow them to have one child, so they require abortion. So a lot of them selectively choose a male over a female because that's a higher status in China. Okay, or they do the in vitro fertilization here, and they might impregnate a woman with six babies and then selectively reduce them to, you know, one or two because they're better chance of survivability. I tell you what, there's going to be a lot of accountability before God in that way. People playing God in areas that God is not allowed and taking life when the Bible says they're created in the image of God. And that's because they're human. It doesn't reference their quality at all. It doesn't. You don't have to have a certain IQ to be considered being in the image of God. Do you understand that? You're in the image of God because you're a human being. And that's it. Okay? The Germans, the Nazis didn't believe that. That's why they put mentally retarded people to death, or people like the Jews who they considered an inferior race. Okay? And that was simply untrue because all of them are created in the image of God. All are special before God. Man is created in the image and likeness of God. You are special. The image of God is passed on. You are made in the image of God. Sin marred the image of God, but it did not remove it. It's still intact. It might be tarnished. It might be infected by sin. We believe that to be the case, but it's not gone. You are still valuable in a different way to God than animals are. Let us see, the image of God sets us apart from the animals. We are special. There's a subpoint here. Our value is indicated by the penalty for murder. We just looked at that in Genesis 9:6. Whoever sheds a man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. It doesn't say why it happened. It says because their blood is required at the hand of other men because they're created in the image of God. That's the reason. It's not, it was an accident. Even though murder is probably the primary focus here. But God requires that because they are created in the image of God. Our value is indicated by the penalty for murder. We're created in the image of God. Therefore, if someone kills us, God requires them to be killed. Not because they had a good reason, not because of anything. Because they're created in the image of God. We're not talking about self-defense or whatever. God allows that. But the idea of unprovoked killing of other people, God says that I require their blood at their hand, at the hand of other humans. And then number two, underneath it, our value is indicated by the honorable speech required of people. Let me turn to James, and you're welcome to do that too. James chapter 3, we'll see this a little more later too, another day. James chapter 3, almost to the end of the Bible. But it's interesting, James brings it up in the context of speech, and that's the blank there in your notes. Verses 9 and 10, notice this. Talking about our tongue, with our tongue we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or likeness of God. And it goes on to say, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be so. James brings up the tongue and its challenges and how basically it's God that needs to control our tongues. But it brings out we are not to be speaking evil of men, evil of other humans. Why? Because each one of us is created in the similitude or likeness of God. God says, no, if you're talking about them, you're talking about me because they're created in the image of God. Do you see how that connection is there? People are special. People are higher. They're created in the image of God. So when you start slamming God's creation that's created in the image of God, you're in some way insulting God Himself. Okay? We are different than animals. God made you special. Listen, the United States of America and maybe a lot of the world has largely abandoned that idea. That's why kids grow up and they hear that they come from monkeys. They're evolved. And you know what? It gives kids no hope, gives adults no hope. Because if they're just animals, they're just live the way their environment shows. There's no hope, there's no God or whatever. And folks, it's a lie. It's not just another way to look at it. That's false. It's not true. Folks, understand that the number one cause of death in America to teenagers is suicide. Why is that? Because we have completely stolen the truth from them so that they see that there's no hope in their life because they're just animals and everything is just the way whatever it happens will happen. And that is not the case. Folks, we need to return to the truth and say you are different, you are special because you're created in the image of God. Every man, woman, child, and conceived infant is created in the image of God and therefore is worthy of honor and worthy of special attention. Mankind is special in every form. Why? Because they're created in the image of God. And our nation, again, has abandoned that truth and we are lying to our kids and saying there's no God, which is as illogical as anything. We've used the illustration of even a watch to say, oh, this all happened by accident, which is just absolutely and utterly ridiculous. But that's the only place that men who even have been trained in the highest institutions, it's the only place they can go if they choose to reject God. God is the most logical, reasonable thought in the universe because everything requires a designer. Everything is so organized and perfect. And you have been created by God as something and someone special because He made you different than the animals. You are not an animal. You are a human being that is uniquely created in the image of God like no animal or plant or planet reflects in any way, shape, or form. And we're going to tell you more about that next week. So you come back next week and we'll explain that in more detail. What does that mean? What does it mean to be created in the image of God? You'll be like, oh yeah, that's true, that's true, that's true. We're going to do that next week. So, all right? Coming up, what the image of God is and isn't. We're going to throw in the isn't part too. And then what are the obligations of being created in the image of God? There's more to be said about the image of God. Anyway. We've got a few minutes, and we haven't had that opportunity in a while because I have been up here preaching longer, or we've had longer. Last week wasn't that long. We just had other stuff going on, I think. But I don't know how long I preach until I post the MP3, and then it's like, I preached 59 minutes or whatever, but it was like 40 minutes last week, which wasn't bad. But anyway, are there any questions at all about what we talked about today, last week, or anything at all with regard to Genesis? I was wondering, it's like, oh, we're going to have a little bit of time, but I didn't want to say anything just in case. But any questions at all? Believe it or not, we aim to have question and answer time at the end, but it seldom happens because we have so much to say. I actually was going to preach what the image of God was to today, and aren't you glad I didn't? Huh? So, because it's a whole sermon in and of itself. Any questions? Okay, let's pray, and then we'll sing another song about meeting God at the end of our life, or when the rapture happens. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for creating us so that we can acknowledge you as God. Thank you for creating us so that we know who we are and where we came from. And Lord, thank you for writing it down so we don't have to guess. Lord, we obviously didn't show up on our own. And we just thank you for your ultimate and complex creation of the human mind and body, and how it reflects you in many, many ways. And Lord, even though we are now infected with sin, we thank you that you gave Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, no animal can claim that either. And we're just so thankful that you have saved us because of what Jesus has done, and because we have believed your promises. And we praise you for your mighty creation, and we acknowledge you as being our creator. And Lord, to the best of our understanding, we thank you for creating us in your image and in your likeness. We pray that you would help us to continue to learn and grow as we understand more of what that's about, and help us to understand that every person, man, woman, child, or conceived infant, is created in your image and therefore is special to you. So help us to treat them special as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.